Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News with your host, Bravo and Botox, also known as Emily. And thank you so much for joining me today. I know these Bravo Weekly News episodes, they've had no rhyme or reason to them in terms of the days they're coming out. I've just been kind of doing it based on my schedule, which is like so erratic during the summer. But what I'm aiming for is like Monday, Tuesday kind of thing. But there are some weeks where, because of just the way my schedule is, you know, it could be a Wednesday. But I will always try for Monday or Tuesday. You can expect the weekly news episodes for the summer. Now, come, you know, the fall, it'll be a steady day, which will probably be every Monday. So because I have a more like set schedule, so you can expect that, you know, you'll get a news episode on Mondays. What you can also expect for this summer is Kathy Hilton and the Richard Sisters deep dives continuing. So I had done the Remarkable Richard Sisters, you know, parts 1, 2, and 3, maybe 4. I think there was four parts. Either way, I'm going to be adding a new part this week. I have completed my research, or at least most of it, but enough to do this part. And I'm going to be doing another Richard Sisters installment all about Miss Kathy Hilton and only Miss Kathy Hilton. Kathy, you know, not Big Kathy, Little Kathy, who I guess now that Big Kathy has passed on is kind of the new Big Kathy, right? Now, some of this will involve covering Paris in Love. So the first part, I will be talking about Paris in Love season 1. Now, only though, I'm only going through the stuff that involves Kathy Hilton. Okay. So if you have not watched Paris in Love and maybe you're like, it's just not for me, I don't give a shit about Paris Hilton, whatever, maybe watch it, right? Since, you know, because it could make it more fun, like to listen to my Kathy Hilton episodes, because I'll be going through basically there was a chapter in House of Hilton that it was kind of like the introduction kind of chapters where they talk about like the way in which Kathy raised Paris and Nikki. And I did not cover that in my Richard Sisters deep dives. So I'm going to be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about Paris in Love season 1, Paris in Love season 2. And again, just the parts with Kathy. So I'm not like talking about Paris Hilton. The focus is not Paris Hilton. The focus is Kathy. And then after that, you know, Kathy's appearances on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Okay. Now I will also get back to kind of going through the moments with the Richard Sisters on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills as well. But I want to kind of, you know, give a lot of what I've been covering, especially in parts like 3 and 4, it was really all about like Kim and Kyle. So I wanted to kind of have this interlude where we talk about Kathy for a bit. And then as we get into the later, newer seasons of Beverly Hills, you know, we start seeing more appearances from Kathy and we have the dynamics with all three of them. So that was kind of how I, you know, organized things in my head, I guess. Okay. So there will be many more parts to the Richard Sisters stuff. That's kind of what I'm focused on for the summer, for July and August. I'm going to try to put out one a week. In addition to the, what's it called? Weekly news. Also, if you are interested in Ladies of London, I am doing Ladies of London recaps on my Patreon. So it's patreon.com/BravoandBotox. It's $5 a month. I'm going to do basically one recap of Ladies of London each week. Now, it's not a recap like you would get on other shows where they go through like minute by minute of every single episode. However, it's going to be more of like, you know, myself and the people on my Patreon, we're rewatching Ladies of London. We're starting at season one. There's only three seasons, so that's kind of good too. It's not like a big undertaking, but you know, it's available on Peacock or Hey You or whatever. We're going to be kind of rewatching it, going through just some of like, you know, I am going to go through every episode, but going through like the key episodes, giving my thoughts on them, on the drama, all that kind of stuff. And then also talking about, you know, a lot of the stuff that happened off camera, because these ladies had like a lot of shit happen to them. Like one of them died, you know, major divorces, you know, one's like, was it a fiance or husband or whatever, was murdered. Like there's what we think murdered. Anyways, there's just a lot with the Ladies of London. And now Caroline Stanbury is on Dubai, and she is everything this season. If you're not watching this season of Dubai, you're really missing out. You don't even have to watch season one. Like just watch season two. You can, like, you don't really need season one. You'll just get it. And it's just they're doing great this season. And Caroline Stanbury and her relationship with her younger husband, Sergio, is the funniest thing. Like if you enjoyed Jessel and Pavitt on New York or any of those relationships where the woman is just like constantly annoyed with her like obnoxious husband. Not that I'm saying Pavitt's really obnoxious, but because he's not actually. It's more just like Jessel's like, ugh. But it's just, they have such a funny dynamic and it's hilarious. So it's not meant to be funny, but it just is. So yeah, I highly recommend. Anyway, so yeah, if you're interested, I'm going to be doing that over the summer on Patreon. And, you know, I'm not sure if I'll get through all of it in the summer because I was thinking I was going to like do two episodes a week. And then I took my notes for the first two episodes and I was like, ooh, these are kind of long. This might have to be two episodes. I don't know. But anyways, just so you know, if you are interested, this week on Thursday on the Patreon, I'll be releasing episodes 1 and 2 of season one. So if you want to watch along with us, and you know, the other fun thing about the Patreon is that after the episode's over, you can go, you know, you can listen to my episode, see all my thoughts and stuff, engage in discussion in the comments. Right, because there's like the comments attached to the episode. So that's kind of fun, and talk to the other people. And yeah, listen, there's not a lot of Ladies of London content out there. So yeah, it's kind of fun to do this and have this journey, especially considering that I have never watched it. So I am legit going in as like a first time viewer. I am a Ladies of London virgin. Besides Caroline Stanbury on Dubai, I don't know anything about it. I don't have any preconceived notions about any of the women. Now I have a little bit just based on like I've started watching. I've watched the first two episodes and I've done a little bit of research. But besides that, you know, I don't know what happens in season three or how things go. So, you know, I'm really giving like my real authentic raw reactions as I go. Okay, sorry, that was like a 9-minute preamble. Let's get into the news because there is big news. I mean, it's kind of a slow news week, except for one sort of pretty big thing, which is that Lindsay Hubbard is pregnant. Now, this news hit and I was like, holy shit, because it's one of those rumors that was out there that I kind of forgot about. It was just like floating around and seems like people knew about it. You know, there'd been that like leak about the traitors, etc. And then, you know, the reunion happened and whatever. And I think people just forgot about it. People were really focused on Amanda and Kyle and that whole like cheating thing and Andrea's wedding. So yeah, I also kind of forgot about it, if I'm going to be honest. And then when she announced it, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like I didn't know or, you know, have any like inside information. I just kind of suspected it. And I was saying this on my Patreon episode last week, when she wore that green dress to Andrea's wedding, I was like, this girl's pregnant. I just, she just looked pregnant to me. It was to me, that was the kind of dress that you choose when you're pregnant and trying to hide it. And it was also a very like, I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be sucking my stomach in. I still want to like show a little leg. I want to feel like a little bit sexy. And you could also tell like, and I, this is not like an insult or anything, but you could tell she gained a little weight back. She looks like very healthy. She has such like a healthy glow. I think she lost a lot of weight with the Carl breakup, which that happens, you know, you get stressed out, etc. But I was like, she looks so like just healthy and happy and glowing. So I was like, I think this girl's pregnant. So we have that. And Lindsay said, so I'm going to read her post. Trigger warning. This post contains more fireworks than the 4th of July. We're pregnant. I truly believe the universe has a bigger plan and this is it. The second I had a feeling, I took a clear blue early digital pregnancy test. And getting a clear result in words made the next steps so much easier. My boyfriend and I are beyond excited to welcome our little hub, hashtag hub cub. Oh, that's cute. I don't know why I didn't notice the hub cub before. This holiday season 2024. Okay, so I guess she's due in December. And then she has, you know, the clear blue hashtags. So, you know, there was a lot of controversy about this being a sponsored post, but, you know, I would just like to say that, she's not the first one. Clear Blue does a ton of influencer sponsored posts. You know, I even have like a few pictures from other ones that I'm looking at here. There's the girl from, what's her name? I think it's Heidi from The Hills. I'm sorry, I wasn't a Hills person. There's Sheena did it. One of the former like one of the former people from The Bachelor world did it. Anyways, and there's more. So listen, I know a lot of people are hating. I think those are just people that are just not Lindsay fans. And I'm just like, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't see why she wouldn't do it because kids are goddamn expensive. Now, on top of that, and what kind of came along with that, because there's a lot of, you know, everyone's talking about her pregnancy. A lot of people were talking about the clear blue thing, which, listen, just, you know, I talked about this in more depth on my Patreon, but I'm of the belief that if a woman wants to get paid for anything that has to do with pregnancy, domestic work, being a mom, whatever, she should. Because women have had expectations on them in society to be mothers, to make, but to also work and make money, etc., you know, to fulfill like every single role imaginable, spreading ourselves too thin. So you know what? And domestic work or being a stay-at-home mom or being a mom, everyone says they respect it, but you know, we're not really paid for that. So get your money. And if you got thousands of dollars, like, I mean, this is probably tens of thousands of dollars for this post, that can go into that kid's college fund and send it. Okay. So I fully support it. And listen, I posted a pregnancy announcement when I was pregnant for free to my like 200 followers who were my friends and family on my like personal Instagram. So if somebody had offered me like 50 grand to do it, you think I would have said no? Hell no. And every single person out there is like, I wouldn't have done that. Yes, you would have. The second you saw that check, you would have been all over it. Okay, so the other controversy surrounding this is the Traitors news. So there was this rumor a while ago that Dorinda had allegedly leaked Lindsay's pregnancy to Traitors producers. And because of that, that is why Lindsay ended up being not on the Traitors and replaced with Sierra. So that rumor was going around, but nobody really knew if it was true 100%. But it, you know, I was kind of like, huh. You know, I think it made a lot of us be like, Anyways, so then Lindsay basically confirmed it. So after she couldn't confirm that rumor before because then she'd have to tell people she's pregnant, obviously, right? So then she went on and there was like a headline that said, it was something about like, oh, was the traitor's news true or something like that? And Lindsay replied to it in a comment on Instagram and said that this was awful, super disappointing and sad. So I guess that means it's true. Now, okay, so she confirms that. Then we get, you know, everyone's opinions as usual. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, she shouldn't be going on the show if she's pregnant, you know, this and that. A lot of people were like, oh, it was probably Dorinda drinking too much and then she shouldn't be telling other people's business and da da da. Okay, so we had a lot of that going around. And then all of a sudden, a news story comes out from People saying, or was it People? Oh, sorry. I don't know if it was People. I forgot to save who it was from. Okay. But anyways, a headline comes out basically like the next day. And this article comes out and this is the headline. Dorinda Medley didn't leak Lindsay Hubbard's pregnancy during Traitors. No truth, source says. Exclusive. So, okay. It wasn't, whatever. Listen, I think it was because Lindsay confirmed it and she confirmed it publicly on an Instagram post. So I don't know why she would do that if it wasn't true. And it's so easy. Like if it wasn't true and Dorinda didn't do that, Dorinda would be on her Instagram doing a video, losing her mind. Like she just would, because that's like so Dorinda. But instead we get this like source headline and then that's all we really hear about it. And I haven't really heard anything since then. So yeah, so I'm going to assume it's true. Now, Kate Chastain has entered the chat and she says, honestly, it doesn't even matter if Dorinda told producers, there's an extremely thorough health exam and extensive testing you have to take before you can do the show. So producers would have found out anyways. Also, a pregnant woman shouldn't want to do those missions. Okay, so this has also caused a lot of controversy because I'm kind of on the fence about this because in one sense, I'm like, yeah, I don't know like why you'd want to do all those physical challenges and be on the Traitors if you're pregnant. Like I wouldn't personally, but then at the same time, you know, I'm not judging like another woman's choice. And there's a lot of women who like work out and do physical things while they're pregnant. However, you know, working out, I guess, and training is not necessarily the same as like the challenges where like you're more likely that you could fall or there could be an accident or whatever. But one thing I will say is that either way, it still wasn't Dorinda's place. And I think that's the big thing. And that's what I've been seeing in kind of most of the comments. And I do agree with that. Most people are like, listen, Dorinda, you know, whether she should have been doing it or not, you know, the point is that it's not your news to tell. This is a grown adult. You know, maybe she had a plan of when she was going to tell it or whatever, so that, you know, it wouldn't get leaked, so that people wouldn't find out she was pregnant, whatever. We don't know what the situation was or what she was planning or what was going on. But it seems like, you know, a lot of people are still like, you don't tell another woman's pregnancy, end of story, no matter what the situation, which I understand that because, you know, it is a important, sensitive piece of information, especially if you're in the public eye. You know, I also do understand Kate's opinion in the sense of like, why did she want to do this? But I don't know. I'd need more context. That's the thing. I don't know what the context was. I also like, I don't see, not that Dorinda wouldn't do something malicious, but I don't know if she did it like who knows if it was malicious or not, or if it's just slipped out during a conversation by accident. I don't know. Like, again, I need a lot more context. So the lack of context is making this one of those situations where it's kind of difficult to make, you know, a final judgment about like who's right, who's wrong. Not that there always has to be like a final who's wrong, who's right, but, you know, sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But anyways, so the other things in relation to this pregnancy, because this pregnancy, like Lindsay Hubbard, this pregnancy has brought a lot of drama. You know, Lindsay could not get pregnant and announce a pregnancy without there being lots of drama around it because, you know, she's a true reality personality. I didn't mean to rhyme, guys, I swear. But anyway, she found out she was pregnant on April 6th and the Summer House reunion taped May 3rd. So people have been kind of looking back at it like, wow, like you were like a month pregnant and you knew and had to like sit through that reunion. Now, a part of me thinks that that might be why she stayed so calm. Cause she did, like, she seemed like, I don't know, like almost like eerily calm, even when she was being attacked by like all those, all like a group of people. And like, it seemed like no one was on her side. She was still like, she really kept it cool. And I wonder if it was cause she had it in her head, like, you know, I have to like protect my peace. You know, I'm pregnant now. Like, as much as I'm rehashing these things that happen, like I'm pregnant now, I'm with this new guy, I've really like moved forward. Like, I think that that was probably part of the reason that she was able to kind of keep it together so well. Now, the other thing is that she was asked about like, basically, you know, what do you think Carl's reaction would be? Of course, because that's such like a media question. And she basically said, you know, I'm sure he'll find out when the rest of the world finds out, but I'm not calling him up and having a conversation with him. That relationship is in my past and I can't really focus on my past anymore because I'm so focused on my present and my future. And to be honest, his emotions are no longer my responsibility. It's just not my problem anymore. Yeah, exactly. Listen, I don't think that Carl's gonna like have big emotions about it. Maybe I'm wrong. I just feel like, I think he wanted out of that relationship so bad. Like, I'm of the belief that he wanted out of it from like the beginning of that summer. And I think he's going to be like relieved that she's moving on. And, you know, because I think that kind of gives him permission to not feel as bad about it. Like, if she was like still sitting around, like sulking and like heartbroken, you know, then it's still kind of like, you know, I think he would still feel like he needed to feel bad or whatever the case is. I think this kind of is like permission to just move forward. And I think that's what he wants. So I don't think he's that bothered by it, to be honest. In other big sort of life news in the Summer House world, except Summer House Martha's Vineyard, Amir from Summer House Martha's Vineyard is engaged to his girlfriend, I want to say Natalie. The show is already off the air and I forgot his girlfriend's name. Not that she was like, you know, a main player. Like, I remember all the main characters' names. But yeah, congratulations, I guess. They seemed a little bit, I don't know. They seemed a little bit like a toxic couple, maybe. She seemed pretty like insecure and jealous. He seemed like he almost like was into that and liked how jealous she was. And I don't know. I just remember like last season, you know, she was so jealous of him, like even being like near other girls in the house or when Jordan was around. And then like she had that weird moment where she was like made a point of like bragging to everybody about how she makes so much more money than him in real estate. Like, I make in like 1 month what he makes in a year or whatever. I don't know. Just the vibes were off. Their relationship just seemed kind of blah. So, you know, but happy for them. I hope that they're happy. And, you know, I'm always going to root for like a couple to succeed unless. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, one other Summer House news. There is a new girl on Summer House who I believe is named Lexi Wood. She posted a picture, you know, kind of like doing like the kissy face at the screen, sort of selfie and winking. And Jesse responded with a drool face emoji. Is this big news? No. But, you know, just here to remind everyone that Summer House is filming and Jesse's hitting on people. So yeah, it seems like he does that with like basically all the girls in the Summer House world. He's kind of just like, he'll hit on anyone who's he thinks is hot and that's it. But, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to like some new relationship dynamics, new people on Summer House. I'm excited. I'm really excited for this upcoming season. I wish I could be in that house and just like a fly on the wall and seeing everything that's going on. That would be amazing. Okay, let's talk about Vanderpump Rules. So we'll start with somebody who I haven't talked about in a little bit, which is Rachel. So Rachel has some new comments in her lawsuit against Ariana that are troubling to me. Basically, what happened is that Ariana did file, what's it called? I had it saved here, an anti-slap motion, which basically is filed in the hopes to dismiss herself from Rachel's case. Okay. So, however, Rachel is making it known that, you know, she's, I guess, against Ariana's attempt to like exit the lawsuit. So in this new lawsuit, she states, So she states basically Maddox acknowledges that she stole and disseminated them being the revenge video, porn video. She distributed the recordings from their original source on Sandoval's phone to herself and to me at a minimum. And then she says that she entered treatment in an extremely dark and scary place mentally. While I've come a long way since March 2023, my recovery remains very much a work in progress. I can state unequivocally that Maddox's actions, as described above, were a principal contributor to the severity of my emotional distress. The urgency and breadth of my need for treatment were necessitated in particular by Maddox's theft, dissemination, and continued possession of the illicit materials. Okay. So the next hearing, by the way, is July 11th. So that's coming up. But like, what the fuck? Honestly, I get that, you know, technically under the law, Ariana should not have sent it to herself. You know, as evidence of Tom cheating, or sent it to Raquel, you know, because she sent it to Raquel to say, like, you can't deny it because I found this. I know what you did. Fuck you. Don't talk to me, or whatever it was, that whatever the text was. You know, but since then, Ariana has, you know, denied that it has ever been shown or sent to anyone else. She's offered up her phone to, you know, for forensic analysis. She offered it up, you know, soon after the incident happened when Raquel sent out the cease and desist. And now she's just, sorry, I just swallowed air and almost choked on nothing. And now she's going with this, like, you know, the particular thing that caused me to have to go into a mental facility was Maddox's theft, dissemination, and continued possession of the illicit materials. Well, you don't know, and you still don't know, because it's not like you were friends with her and you were in touch with her since then. You still don't know if she even had the possession of them. Like, she says that she sent it to you in that text exchange, and then she blocked you, she deleted them, and that was it. Right. So, you know, and again, that she sent it to herself and then to Rachel, and she's maintained and has never changed the story since. Now, fine, Rachel has the right to not believe her. But if your emotional distress is based on something that you don't have any proof of, and just based on your belief of something that may or may not have happened, that's not really like Ariana's responsibility. And it's going to be really hard. The court cannot prove, you know, unless some forensic evidence or whatever comes out, but unless you can prove that she did have it the whole time and was sending it to all sorts of people, which, I mean, I highly, highly doubt. And I think if she was, that would have come to light by now. But anyways, you never know. But I don't think that she was, in my opinion. And again, don't come after me. It's just my opinion. I don't think she was, though. But at the end of the day, it's like, if you had like this emotional distress from this possibility, again, like, you can't be blaming Ariana for all your emotional distress, because at the end of the day, like, I could say, okay, well, your imagination and assumptions are what's causing your emotional distress, because you're upset about something that you don't even know if it's true. You're upset that she's sending it to all sorts of people when you don't even know if she is, for sure. And again, this is all assuming that, you know, there isn't like a bunch of stuff that or evidence that Rachel has that, you know, none of us have heard about yet or anything. I just think if there was like real evidence that Ariana had sent it to a bunch of people or whatever, I just think we would have heard it by now and she would have produced it in these lawsuits. Like she keeps producing these statements and lawsuits and there's still no evidence. Like the only evidence is Rachel's like assumption, basically, which is not evidence, obviously. Now, the other thing is it just really seems like in this statement that she's trying to blame Ariana particularly for her, you know, the dark and scary place that she was mentally. What about yourself? Like, I don't know, like this, I really think that this woman needs help. Like, I actually think, like, I don't know if she has, you know, some other like mental illness or issue or something. Like, I don't know what the problem is, but her like fixation on, you know, finding a boogeyman to blame everything on and like her inability to really take any accountability, it's actually astounding at this point. And just the fact that she continually goes after the person who she hurt so deeply and doesn't seem to really have any remorse, like for her part in it. Like, go after Sandoval. We all support that. He is the one who did this, who distributed the porn, quote unquote, or like screen recorded it or whatever. And like, listen, fine. I guess you have the right. I guess, you know, technically Ariana broke the law sending that out, but it's going to be really hard to kind of prove and have like damages against her when she literally, you know, when she maintains that she just sent it to you and herself. I don't know. Anyways, I just think that Rachel has like a fixation. It seems like it's like to just a weird point of like fixation, obsession, even just with like the Vanderpump Rules world, like just all these claims that she wanted to not be a part of it, but she just never stops talking about it. It just seems like her, she has this like desperation, you know, to stay in headlines, you know, to, you know, maintain like a certain like image of herself as a victim. Like she's obsessed with this victimhood, this victim image. I really think like, honestly, I think she deeply, deeply regrets not doing season 11. I know that sounds so dumb because there's so many other bigger things she could regret, you know, like sleeping with Sandoval behind her on his back. But I really think that she regrets, you know, going on the Bethany train for a ride and realizing that that ride was going off a cliff and it wasn't going to take her anywhere. Right. Because since then, there's all of a sudden lawsuits. Then she's got her own podcast every single week. She's talking about Vanderpump Rules. You know, now Vanderpump Rules season 11's over. Like everyone's kind of like moving forward away from it and, you know, are figuring out where their careers are going. And she's just kind of left in the dust. So I think she kind of is thinking like, what did I do? I think, you know, I do think like reality, stardom, fame, being on a show, like I do think it's addictive and it can be like a drug. And I think she was, you know, or she is just as addicted to it as anybody else who's in that world. And I think she wants back in. Honestly, I really do. Okay. So what do we have next? Oh yeah, we have some Roni news. It's been a while since we've had like old school Roni news and I'm kind of excited about it because it's really juicy. We have news about Luann, Bethany, and Sonia. It's like, you know, we're taking a trip in a time machine to, you know, the days of yore. Okay, well, they weren't that long ago. But anyways, let's start with the Luann and Bethany, because this story is hilarious. Basically, you know, I'm scrolling through my Instagram feed and I see that Luann posts a picture with her and Bryn, Bethany's daughter. And then she has, you know, like kind of a, she has like a caption about it where she's, of course, like promoting her cabaret show. But anyways, And, you know, and then there's like a video on like the Instagram stories of like, you know, Bryn and Luann and like Bethany, and they're all like laughing and they just look happy and like they've just made up. And it's like Bryn like brought them together, because listen, Luann and Bethany have not been friends for a long time. And on top of that, with the whole reality reckoning thing, Luann was very like anti-Bethany. So she was like speaking out in defense of Bravo, in defense of Andy, basically like, you know, throwing a lot of shade at Bethany in interviews, things like that. And then, you know, Bethany posted about it too, and like posted a picture and was like, I guess life really is a cabaret, like whatever. Okay. So, you know, they have this moment and it seems sweet. I was still kind of like side-eyeing it because it's Bethany and I don't trust her motives ever. Anyways, so then this story comes out, you know, like a couple days later, basically, and it's basically a quote from Luann, and Luann is saying that, you know, she realizes that Bethany was just using her daughter to get to her, and there wasn't a genuine reconnection. So, okay, so despite they had this friendly run-in over the weekend, and then Luann says, after watching Bethany's video and still being blocked by her on social media, I realized she just used her daughter to get to me. So I guess maybe because she was still blocked, she's saying she feels that way. So I guess Luann is still blocked. She says it wasn't a genuine reconnection. Luann also says she was initially very happy to see Frankel. But then she said, you know, to watch the video, it hurt my feelings. So the video that Luann is referring to is like an interview with Bethany about, you know, running into Luann. And in it, Bethany says, so I see Luann and Bryn gets all devious. My friend Mark is like, just say something. Why not? Right. And it is also a good example for Bryn. We have to be good examples. I basically said congratulations and Bryn is there, which is great because she bridged my relationship with my mom. Then you know, Luann hugged Bryn. We had to do it on social media because if it didn't happen there, then it didn't happen anywhere. That was nice and clean. She texted me and wrote, we are like some discombobulated family. So that was pleasant and fun. So I guess Luann took it as like maybe with the devious comment or with like, oh, she, like she's saying it like kind of like, oh, if we didn't do it on social media, then it didn't really happen. Like maybe as like a criticism to Luann, because Luann was the one who kind of like posted the video of them on social media, I think. And on top of that, it just, you know, I guess Bethany's just kind of like downplaying it, maybe. I mean, that's how I took it. I didn't look at Bethany's interview and like think it was that bad, like for Luann to kind of like walk back her feelings about it so much. But then I was also kind of like, maybe Luann knows now that everyone in the Bravo world hates Bethany, so she doesn't want people to think she's like friends with her again. So she's just kind of like, you know, finding an excuse to like keep her conflict with Bethany going, especially because she knows, like, you know, Andy Cohen hates Bethany. I don't know. That's kind of how I took it as well. So, you know, we don't know for sure, but at the end of the day, Luann is not buying into Bethany's motives, or at least thinks that her motives are impure. Another huge piece of news out of Roni World is that Sonia has officially sold the townhouse and she's moving out. She posted a picture of like the moving truck, and yeah, it's really the end of an era. Honestly, I would love to see what the new person does. Like whoever bought it, I hope they renovate the shit out of it, you know, and because God did it need, it needed so much work. And I hope that they share the renovations. God, it should have been made into like a housewives museum where you could go to New York and visit and like go see all the rooms and being like, oh, look at the marble falling apart that Sonia never fixed. Oh, this is where she passed out and, you know, hit her head or whatever. Okay, so speaking of Sonia passing out, we all know they had the Watch What Happens Live like 15 year anniversary or whatever, and Jeff Lewis was there along with like Luann, Sonia, Portia, Phaedra, Teresa Giudice, etc. And basically, so basically Jeff Lewis said on his podcast or his radio show that he heard a rumor that Sonia Morgan's drinking was the reason that Welcome to Crappy Lake did not get reviewed. He found out that one of the reasons it was not renewed was not because it wasn't successful, but actually because of Sonia and her behavior. And, you know, it's affected her professionally. He says, I think people really like her and are rooting for her, but there is a point in time when it isn't funny anymore. She needs to clean up her act. He also revealed that Sonia was drunk and obnoxious at the Watch What Happens Live 15th anniversary episode and thinks that Bravo did a lot to edit out her drunk behavior. Jeff says Sonia was 20 times worse than what was shown. He added that she was belligerent, rude, and disrespectful. Yeah, I believe that. Like, I don't believe everything Jeff Lewis says, or, you know, I take things he says with a grain of salt, but I believe this because Sonia's been spiraling and going downhill for a long time. I think a lot of us saw it on the last few seasons of Roni. We saw it on the earlier seasons too, but it just got worse and worse. You know, I didn't watch all of Crappy Lake. I watched a bit of it. Like I watched like 3 or 4 episodes and it wasn't like it was a little much in my opinion. And that was probably heavily edited. It gets to a point where it's like, just like what he said, it's just not fun anymore. And, you know, I'm sure Roni getting canceled, you know, Sonia not having like kind of a steady thing or a steady income, you know, like she doesn't have like the cabaret world. Like I know she has her like Sonia shows, which I've heard not great things about, or just that she's like a complete mess. But, you know, like Luann has like shows and is like kind of like respected as like a performer, even if it is kind of like a almost like a parody of cabaret, it's still like respected as a thing, you know, and she's still doing stuff. And like, they've all kind of like gone somewhere and have something going on. And I think Sonia's just sort of left, right? And that plus the selling of the townhouse and the canceling of Roni, like, I think it's just all a recipe for disaster. And I think Sonia's probably always had an issue with alcohol. I don't know, you know, for sure, obviously, but just based on what we've seen on television, I mean, she's not the only woman on Roni who might have an alcohol issue, but I guess former OG Roni, whatever you want to call it. Okay, speaking of alcohol issues, there's a segue for you. Let's talk about Orange County and Shannon Bedore. So we have the new season coming. It is coming on Thursday. I am so excited because we are in such like a housewives drought. Like, yeah, we have New Jersey. Dubai has been fantastic. I think I'd be enjoying it even more if everybody was watching it and talking about it. But some people are, you know, there's still people watching about it. Sorry, there's still people watching it and tweeting about it. But it's just not like, you don't have like the huge community of watchers. And Dubai deserves more. They deserve so much more, especially this season. But I am excited for OC because, you know, big audience, you know, a lot of passionate viewers, a lot more tweets and a lot more social media engagement, you know, and sometimes it's tough for little me looking for the good tweets when there's not as many to choose from. But I'm excited for OC. Okay, it's going to be really good. And we've already got some gossip kind of getting us started. So Shannon Bedore says, let's be clear. Alexis Bellino is a friend. She's not holding an orange. Okay. She also talked about how Alexis photoshopped herself into a cast photo, which she did on social media, which like, you know, a lot of people were laughing at and thought was kind of like a funny thing for her to do. But Shannon says Alexis was not there. Let's take her out because she was never in the flipping picture. That's such a Shannon thing to say. Who's in the center? Who's in the center, girlfriend? Bam. That would be me. Okay, Shannon, I'm living for this. I am living for the like, I hate when women fight over a guy, but at the same time, like, Alexis is asking for this. Like, you swooped in, you're trying to get back on the show by like going with her ex, and then it didn't work. And you're just a friend of, like, I have to laugh at that. Sorry, Alexis. It's kind of embarrassing. Okay. Shannon also says that one of their OC cast trips was actually split. So half of them went to Big Bear and the other half went to Palm Springs. Now, I don't love that because I don't love when housewives trips get split up. I don't love when the cast is not all filming together and things like that. However, I have to see it in context, right? Like if they're together most of the season and then this is kind of like, you know, the ending or the climax where there's like a big, you know, whatever before we get towards the end of the season, I can deal with that, right? As long as there's, you know, as long as we have a reunion where there's like possibilities of shifting alliances and friendships, which OC's usually pretty good with that. OC's was always the show that I used to watch and I used to get whiplash with how quickly the friendships would change. And it's kind of never ended. They keep doing that. And I think that's one of the reasons that OC has always been, you know, besides like its weak, you know, couple of seasons around COVID time, it's always been a pretty strong show consistently. That show just got better and better all the way up until season 10. They had a couple weak seasons, and I'm only going to say two. It was really the season, like the COVID season, which like, I can't really blame them. Like everybody had, for the most part, the COVID seasons were all shitty. And on top of that, like they'd fired Vicky and Tamra, and it was just, they didn't know what the hell they were doing. They didn't know Kelly was going to like, you know, go completely psycho. And then, you know, they had the kind of rebuilding season after that to try and improve it. And then I think it's just been, you know, steadily increasing and getting better, you know, slowly. But, you know, when you're in a rebuilding phase, it doesn't happen overnight. And the point is that it's, each season gets a little bit better. Okay. So that's how you know, like they're doing the work. So I'm good. I'm here for it. Let's go OC. Okay. What else we got? Oh yeah, we have some Real Housewives of Potomac news, which I was not expecting this news story. It just like came out of nowhere, but it's here. So Deborah Williams, also known, if you don't know who I'm talking about, she's sometimes known as Sesame Street. Okay, as I did not make up that name, that's what Candace called her. She files a $7 million counterclaim against quote-unquote villain Kiarna Stewart in lawsuit over RHOP season 8 fight. So Deborah was the one who, she's Ashley's friend, who Ashley kind of brought her on and, you know, sort of asked her to like make up that stuff about Candace's husband. And then in season 8, for some reason, Ashley was allowed to bring this girl around again, which I don't think she should have been. And she went up and started instigating things with Candace and being like, oh, I heard you called me this and da da da. And then the next thing you knew, a fight broke out between Deborah and Kiarna. Kiarna is a friend of like some of the other girls in the group and I guess had like an assault case or lawsuit against Deborah. Okay. So these were filed with the DC Superior Court earlier this week. And basically, Deborah is denying all charges and painting Kiarna as the true villain, saying it is obvious that counter defendant Ms. Kiarna Stewart craves fame. She craves attention so much that she's willing to do just about anything to have her name broadcast on television and across social media. That includes instigating a fight, having that fight recorded, then sending the video of the fight to TMZ for it to be viewed on TV all over the world. In the counter complaint, Deborah alleges that Kiarna orchestrated the events outlined in the original assault and battery complaint. In the reality drama she has brought before the court, Ms. Stewart is not the victim. In fact, she's the villain. In the true story, Ms. Stewart is not the protagonist, she's the antagonist. This is very much written for media. The facts will show that Ms. Stewart, with her insatiable desire to be known, orchestrated all the events outlined in her own complaint and in this counter complaint. And in the end, the court will see, indeed, the country will see that Ms. Williams is the innocent party who has been severely damaged by Ms. Stewart. I can imagine Shannon Bedore right now. You will all see the truth, you know? That's Deborah. You will all see the truth. Listen. Here's the thing, Deborah. We did. Because as you just said in your complaint, it was on video and sent to TMZ. So yeah, we all saw it. And the producers of Real Housewives of Potomac played the audio for us from before the cell phone video started, and we could hear you instigating things verbally. Okay. And then you're the one who threw the initial drink. And then, like, you, none of this would have happened if Deborah hadn't come up and instigated it all. Right. And Kiarna did get, like, if I remember correctly, she got hit in the face and she was bleeding. I think it was from like broken glass. I could be, maybe I'm mixing it up with another fight, like the New Jersey fight. But anyways, it doesn't matter. The point is that she was injured and Deborah did totally instigate this. So this girl needs to stop. Like, give me a break. And the only one who I've seen with an insatiable appetite for fame is Deborah. Okay. Like, she made a complete and utter fool of herself when she came on claiming that Chris was like hitting on her and making faces at her and all this stuff when the footage showed that he clearly was not. And then she actually, like, do you have no shame? She comes back on the show for another season and then basically comes and like corners Candace the second the cameras go down. Like, girl, you're the one who is looking for shit. You're the one who is just embarrassing yourself. I just can't with this woman. Honestly, I really can't. Ashley needs to not be able to bring this woman around anymore. I do not want to see her on Potomac next season. I would hope that the show, the producers, et cetera, have learned their lesson when it comes to Deborah. Because clearly she's like, this woman will do anything to try and be a part of this world. And it's like, it's kind of pathetic. Okay, so she's kind of like the Alexis of Potomac. Except Alexis actually started dating someone's ex. So, you know, that gave her a little bit more credibility. But I mean, who knows? It's never too late. Next thing we could find out, Deborah's dating someone's ex. Imagine she starts dating, like, I don't know, who could she date? Whose ex? Michael Darby. I would die. Oh, God, that would be funny. Okay. Although Michael would never come on the show, so it wouldn't matter. All right. So what is our next news story? Okay. R-H-O-P. We got that. We got Roni. O-C. Oh, yeah. New Jersey. How can I forget? So the most toxic show. Okay. So a couple little things. So there was a post on Instagram. And it was basically a post by @JoyRosenberg1. And Joy was posting about like something to do with New Jersey, about basically the fight between Danielle and Jen. So Jen responded a lengthy response, and I'm going to read it. So she says, "I never not did it for the money." So I think she's talking about like that, doing that photo shoot for Danielle's like hair extensions girl or whatever. I can't believe this whole fight was really at the end of the day about hair extensions. "When Marissa asked me to be a model for what I thought was a masterclass, I did not hesitate to say yes, never even thinking about money. Ask her. It was when Danielle called me to see if I was quote unquote getting paid that she informed me that it was actually a photo shoot to be put on her website to sell her extensions. That's a lot different. First off, I don't even wear permanent extensions. I only wear clip-ins as needed." Good to know. "Okay, secondly, I already have a go-to hairstylist that may one day want me for her own website, which would make sense since she does my hair all the time. And she knows I wouldn't even think about charging her. Ask her about me." And then she tags her hair girl. "Marissa has done my hair only once. I paid her in full immediately as she walked out the door, in addition to posting her multiple times. Ask her. I didn't not do it for the money. I do half my shit for free anyways because money is not my driving force. I didn't want to be on another person's website that's not my go-to person. But if you ever do give that masterclass, Marissa, and you need a model, I'm your girl and I would never charge you. I would hope that you can make money with me promoting you so that we may all rise together as it should be. #facts. So I guess what Jen is saying is that the reason she didn't go through with it, it wasn't because she found out she wasn't getting paid from Danielle. It was because she didn't want to be a model promoting this other girl's hair extensions, who's somebody who's only done her hair once, because she has her own hair girl who does her clip-in extensions and does her extensions all the time. And if she was ever a model on someone's website, it would be her regular girl, not this Marissa girl. However, if it was a if this Marissa girl needed a model to do a masterclass, then she would do it because that's a little different. So, okay, so I understand what Jen is saying. But, okay, so isn't that kind of what Danielle was saying, though? Like, doesn't that sort of confirm Danielle's story? Like, I need to think this through. So Danielle is saying, yeah, I just called her to tell her that it's not a masterclass thing. They're taking pictures of us to go on the website, and we're not getting paid, and that's what it is. And then Jen was like, oh, thanks for letting me know, because I don't want to be like one of her like website people to promote her because I have my own hair person. So is that not the same story? The only difference in those two stories, and I guess this is the difference that Jen and Danielle are, you know, disagreeing about, is the money thing. Because Jen is making it sound like it was not just about warning Jen the phone call. Danielle was also calling to complain because Danielle was wanting to get paid. Whereas for Jen, her complaint was, it's not a masterclass, I'm a model. Okay, this is how I am interpreting this unbelievably stupid argument about the hair extensions that led to a physical altercation. So yeah, that's how I'm taking it. So I guess Jen is trying to clarify, like, no, the reason I backed out is not because anything to do with finances. However, Danielle over here, Danielle is the one who gives a shit about getting paid because she's not rich like I am with a plastic surgeon husband. So, you know, she's bitching about that. So yeah. Okay, so I guess that makes sense. Again, not saying I believe Jen, because I still I don't know who to believe. Like, the truth, it really could go either way. Like, it really could have been, because Danielle is like, no, I was calling to give her a heads up, like, hey, your hair people might be mad because this is a thing, right? And then now what Jen is saying does kind of make Danielle's side of the story seem a little bit more true. Except for the money thing. The money thing is the only thing. Like, maybe that is all true. And then in addition, Danielle was like, I wish I was getting paid for this. Like, I could see that happening, but I could see Danielle saying that as just like kind of a passing, I don't know, like a passing complaint. Like, I'm in a bad mood and I just feel like being bitchy, so let me bitch about how this woman's not paying me. And then Jen, you know, just took that and ran with it, because that's what Jen Aiden does. You know, she'll take something you say and then use it on the show, especially because I think she's just pissed that, you know, Danielle stopped being like, you know, a puppet for her or somebody who would like do her bidding. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's no truth to it. So, you know, they both kind of have a point, and they're both stupid points. But yeah. Okay. So that's the New Jersey news as usual. Some petty stuff. Listen, I'm still enjoying this season, and I got to admit, I was kind of disappointed that there was no, I get it, it was the July 4th long weekend, but I kind of was disappointed there was no episode on Sunday. It'll be back though. It'll be back. All right. Do we have anything else today? Oh yes. To end off, we do have a little update about the whole, you know, Kenya Moore thing. That was a huge story the last couple of weeks, but basically, apparently Sally's Beauty Supply Store is no longer carrying Kenya Moore hair care products, or they'll be discontinued amid the revenge porn allegations. Now, all that being said, it is not clear, though, that they are discontinuing them specifically because of the revenge porn thing, because, you know, it could be that, like, it was a limited time contract or whatever the case was, and that, you know, their contract is up with that because she is still in other stores. And a lot of people were kind of calling out this headline as like sort of, you know, maybe misrepresenting the whole truth. So, you know, because I haven't seen, usually when stuff like this happens, there's a statement made by the company. I haven't seen anything like that. It also is kind of like, well, we don't have like 100% evidence that, you know, what Kenya did was even revenge porn yet. We don't know that for sure. So it seems like maybe a big move. So I don't know if I believe this one. Either way, still a big loss that we lost Kenya. Oh, I'm still holding out hope. You know, I'm still holding out hope that we're going to have a really good season of RHOA. And I just can't help it. I'm just like, you know how they have people that they call a hopeless romantic? That's me with Atlanta. Like, I'm having my romances with Atlanta and I'm holding out. I'm holding out a hope that it's going to be good. I just like, it's going to be good. We're going to go back to those good old days. I can just sense it. Like, I know it's never going to be the same as like when Nene was on. Like, I get all that. But even just, you know, just hope for a good season. That's all I want. Apparently, we're going to be getting the Salt Lake trailer sometime soon. I've been hearing some talk about that. I don't have any confirmation about any dates or anything, but give me the Salt Lake trailer because that's another show that I really miss right now. Especially, it's going to be a tough follow-up after last season, but I just need more housewives in my life in general. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me. You are now in the know for everything Bravo. See you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.